This, a limiting belief, this, a limiting belief is a strongly held belief in your heart or thought life that holds you back in life. That holds you back in life. Many times, it's believing a lie about yourself. It's believing a lie about your identity. Well, I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I can't do anything. Come on, hello? It's about your identity. It's believing a lie about God. It's believing a lie about His will for your life. It's believing a lie about your life. You get the point. It's anything that holds you back from being and doing whatever God wants you to do on this earth. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision as I was praying this through this week. He gave me a vision of someone that was tied up with many ropes and they couldn't move. They were tied up. They couldn't move. They were just stuck. This person was physically bound up and couldn't move. They couldn't do a thing. Every lie that you received and believed in your heart as truth in your belief system is a spiritual rope tied around you, holding you back from your full potential and God-given purpose. Now, what then is a belief? Let's break this down. Say, break it down. Listen to this. The word belief, this is very interesting. Oh, you got to get this. And I can tell you guys are zoomed in. You're focused in today. The word belief is defined as an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. It's also defined as trust, faith, or confidence in something or someone. Now, here's what I really want to zoom in on the word belief. It's this, an acceptance that something is true. An acceptance that a statement is true. It's an acceptance, and this is what the Holy Spirit said. Ready for this? Here we go. This is where limiting beliefs come in. It's an acceptance or an assumption. Say assumption. That a statement or something is true. It doesn't mean that that statement or that thing you're believing is true or accurate. Hello, somebody. It's simply an acceptance on your part, in your thought life, in your heart, an assumption that something must be true to you personally. So we must establish right now. Ready? Here's where I'm breaking this down. This is where we go wrong. Just because you believe it does not make it true. That's really what I'm drilling down to here. Just because you believe something does not mean that it's true. Now, some people don't believe in God. Some people don't believe in heaven or hell. They just think, they think just because they believe that way that it's not true, right? How many of you know we live in a world right now that says this, well, believe whatever you want. If you believe it, it's true to you. If you don't believe it, well, it's not true. Oh, you don't believe there's a hell? Well, then you're not going to go there because there isn't one because you don't believe there is one. Are you following what I'm saying? That's such a twisted view because there is one truth that we all need to be concerned about, and it's God's truth. It's God's word, which is, come on, true spiritual reality is reality, right? So I don't want to believe something that's not true. I don't want to have, come on, limiting beliefs. Mm-mm. Those people don't have anything to back up their belief. Oh, you don't believe there's a heaven or hell? You don't believe there's a God? What do you base it on? I don't know. That's just what I believe. Well, here's the deal. We as Christians, we have something to back what we believe. And it's called the written word of God. Amen. That's what backs us. Hallelujah. My point is this. There is something that happened in a person's heart, in a person's life that has caused them, come on, to accept or to assume a limiting belief or a false belief on the inside of their heart. Something happened to them. Something happened along the way that made them, come on, exchange the truth for a lie. In this message, now I'm dealing with Christians that believe or accept or assume something that's against God's word, and that's a limiting belief. But this applies to atheists. This applies to unbelievers. Anybody can listen to this message, right? Because it's dealing with what's limiting them or holding them back from the Lord. Amen? Here we go. Some limiting beliefs were formed in our heart through negative experiences in our life. Trauma, word curses, wrong teachings from someone who had access to your heart and to your life. Rejection, abandonment, comfort zones. Come on, somebody. Some limiting beliefs have been learned by the wrong teaching or spoken words. Some have been there, informed through wrong teaching. We agree with that, right? Through spoken words. But some have gotten there because of actions that were done against you. Did you just hear what I said? Because of actions or something that was done against you. And because of that wrong action against you, you formed a belief. You formed a wrong assumption about God and the will of God. How about, whatever, an abusive father may be a hindrance to someone's relationship with their heavenly father, right? How about an abusive husband, whatever. You're having trouble, you know, seeing Jesus as your husband. Come on, somebody. Are you following what I'm saying? So, and some may have formed a limiting belief because of gossip that was spread, right? Which was a lie, and you accepted truth. You took that assumption against someone or something, and guess what it did? It hindered your love walk. It created a, come on, limited belief. It limited you. It held you back. So I'm talking about any kind of belief in your heart that is limiting your faith, limiting your life spiritually. Now, you remember a few weeks ago in one of my messages, I talked about how as a child, there was a pureness to our thoughts. Remember that? Remember those days? There is a pureness to our thoughts. There's a pureness to our beliefs. There is a pureness to our motives. There is a pureness to our faith in God. And then we got older, and the enemy sends people into our life. And the evil influence of this world helped pollute our belief system. I say pollute. It polluted our belief system. And because we weren't discerning, we weren't aware of what's going on as adults, we fell into this trap of accepting what? Limiting beliefs. Oh, come on. Now, you know, that's why the Word of God says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Why? Because you're building that foundation in them. Amen? It's building, you're rooting them in the Word of God. You're rooting them in the truth. Amen? But everything in this evil world system is aimed at this. Ready? Programming you. It's everything in this evil world system that Satan is the god of, with a small g, but he's still the head over it, the evil world system. Everything in this evil world system is aimed at programming you, programming how people think, trying to establish a wrong belief system in a person's heart. Movies, music, public education, colleges, and the list goes on and on, right? Thank God we do have some good teachers and spirit-filled teachers in schools. Amen. But what I'm saying is overall, say overall, there's a programming going on. Everything the enemy does is aimed at negatively programming people away from God and away from the kingdom of God. That's what he's trying to do. The enemy is trying to create this inside of every person. Pure dysfunction. Say dysfunction. We were driving to Lapeer last night, and all of a sudden, I was just looking around and looking at signs and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, this world has nothing to offer except for dysfunction. This world system is evil and dysfunctional. Listen to this. On Wednesday night, we watched that video from Reverend Doug Jones. And he made the statement that the enemy tries to influence us through three things. And thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Thoughts, ideas and suggestions. And it's all about influence, because the devil can't make you do anything. He's trying to influence. Say influence. So, because he's still got to break your will. Did you hear what I just said? Your will is greater than the devil's power and the devil's authority. Yeah, he's a loser. He's still got to break our will. We got to give in to that influence, right? And as I was meditating on this truth of what Doug Jones taught on that video, the Holy Spirit said this, and it came very clear to me. He said, that's also how I try to influence people. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. The devil didn't create anything. He perverts what God does. That's why he said, what, in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. So he's a copycat. He's a counterfeiter. So the Holy Spirit said, yeah, that's how the enemy operates. But, you know, that's from me originally. That's also how I try to influence people. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. The enemy is giving Christians thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Why? To limit or to hold them back from God and the will of God. But the Holy Spirit said this, I am giving Christians thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to promote unlimited belief in their heart toward God. That's the difference in motive. Are you following me? Everything the Holy Spirit speaks to us, everything the Holy Spirit reveals to us, even in dreams or visions, is to set us free from whatever's holding us back in our belief system. There's a reason why when the Holy Spirit gives you a vision about your future, about something amazing that's coming, what's he doing? He's trying to cut the ropes off of you. He's trying to for you to get rid of those, come on, limited beliefs and start having unlimited beliefs. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to our remembrance to cause hope and faith to rise up in us, right? Like, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's a good one, isn't it? I mean, when you really meditate on that, you can feel some ropes coming off of your heart, can't you? Everything in the Word of God, everything the ministry of the Holy Spirit is aimed at assisting us to believe and to do the impossible with unlimited beliefs and faith in God. Now, I want to share with you some key points the Holy Spirit revealed to me that will help you to identify, uproot, and replace limited beliefs and thoughts in your heart. Identify, uproot, replace. See, it's no good if you just identify and uproot. If you identify and uproot, you got to what? Replace. All right? So we need to replace that junk with unlimited beliefs in our heart. Negative and wrong limiting beliefs are simply from this, an out of control thought life. It's from an out of control thought life. You're spinning all over in your brain. You're going all over, right? Get back in the center of the road. Amen. A person meditated on a specific thought in their conscious mind. They consciously thought about it enough in their mind, in their conscious mind, so much to the point that it granted permission or an acceptance to create that belief in their heart, in their subconscious part of their mind. There's some things now that you believe. There's some things that you have a prejudice against. There's some things that you, something rises up in you when you hear something that bothers you and you're like, why am I acting like this? Because it's subconsciously, come on, a limited belief in your heart. Anybody ever have that? Something, maybe it's a topic in the Word of God. Well, I don't know, whatever it is, but just something, every time you heard it, just, it grinds you. Why? And you're like, why do I feel this way? Because it's subconsciously in your belief system. And you don't even know why now. Now, those people gave thought and time. Say thought and time. to something they should not have given thought and time to. And it ended up becoming a bondage and limiting their faith. It cut their faith off. The rope is too tight. It cut the circulation of your faith. Oh, come on. Listen to this. Instead of accepting wrong thoughts based on teaching, negative experiences, false assumption, we need to start rejecting some thoughts. Your brain, your heart is not a garbage can. Now, here's listen to this. Ready? So, you got into this mess by meditating on the wrong thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And now the only way to get out of it is to meditate on correct thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are rooted in the Word of God. You got into the mess, now you got to get out of it. That's the good news and the bad news. You got yourself in the mess, but the good news is you can get yourself out. If you got breath in your lungs, you can get yourself out of it. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good news. So you need to uproot the limited and replace with unlimited beliefs. So listen to this. Why is it easier to be more negative and fearful more than positive and full of faith? You ever think of that? It's like so easy to be negative, isn't it? Like we just kind of default into that, right? First of all, because the default mode for us humans is negativity, doubt, and unbelief. Why? Because sin. Right? Now, we were naturally bent toward that negative junk. Now, even a Christian can be bent toward that negative junk with what? An unrenewed mind. One minister said, he said, you know, an unbeliever, an atheist can look just the same as a backsliding Christian with an unrenewed mind. Right? Also, because of this, we have been taught, we have been brainwashed, we've been conditioned and programmed to do what? To be negative. Right? I mean, you turn on the TV, everything, what in the world? Everything's negative. And we've been brainwashed and conditioned to do this. Are you ready? To expect the worst in every situation. To expect the worst in every situation from a very young age. I remember one of my relatives whom I love, when I was a little kid, they gave me this little pin. And on it, it has like a little boy, like a drawing of a boy, and it has his pockets out. And you want to know what it says? Penniless Jim. You laugh, and it is kind of funny, but it's also a curse. That's an accursed thing. Well, the relative didn't know. They just thought, it was cute. But you know, I grew up always worrying about finances and, not having enough. I went through seasons, man, where I didn't have enough. Are you following me? And then one day I was like, Lord, what is going on here? And I kid you not, I haven't thought about it in years. I had a flash of that picture of that pin, and it said, Penniless Jim. I said, wow, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I renounce and destroy that accursed thing. I renounce and destroy anybody calling me Penniless Jim. Anyways, the birth certificate says James. Only close family members call me Jim. But are you seeing what I'm saying? Even something like that, that can assign demons over your life. Demons of life. So I tell that story because maybe there's something you're having issues with in your life, and maybe it's something as simple as a pin. An accursed thing that someone gave you. Something. So I'm going to believe now that the Holy Spirit might reveal something to you. Maybe it's in your house. Maybe it was from when you were a kid. Something maybe you just got to renounce. Amen? So we have been taught to focus on and to rely on self and stuff in the natural realm apart from God. So it's no wonder we are so discouraged and negative in this life, because we're leaning upon the arm of flesh all the time. That's how we've been conditioned. So it actually takes some motivation, so a shifting of your focus to get your focus back on the Word of God and God. Amen? Listen to this. Focusing on our humanity and our own ability from God will limit our beliefs. You agree with that? It will put more spiritual ropes around us to keep us in bondage. However, focusing on God's ability and willingness will cause us to remove the limits on our belief system, because for with God, all things are possible. That verse doesn't say that all things are possible to you. You know, it says, for with God, all things are possible. It's got to be with God. Say with God. Now listen to this. I got to tell you this. Fear, say fear. Fear is a belief system, and faith is a belief system. Here's why I'm saying this. Fear, faith and fear are their own belief systems. Why? Because if you have fear, it creeps into every belief in your heart. It trickles down to every belief. Everything you do is wrapped up in fear. Anybody want to testify to that? Amen? But here's what the Holy Spirit said. Ready? I know it's simple, but man, it's just like, wow. Both fear and faith, ready? Both believe they receive something before it's received in the natural realm. Oh, do you hear what I just said? Fear and faith both believe they receive something before it's manifested in the natural realm. Well, isn't that what fear is? I'm afraid this is going to happen. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Fear and faith are their own, let's say it this way, ecosystems. Because it affects every area, trickle down into your belief system. Oh, come on. Listen to this. Fear is rooted in a false belief system gone wrong. And faith is rooted in the promises in the Word of God. The fruit of fear is bondage and torment. The fruit of faith is peace and joy. Why? Because we back our beliefs with the Word of God. See, both receive something before they're manifested in the natural realm. So fear, well, we've said it before, and many ministers have, fear is faith perverted. Twisted belief. You're still believing you're receiving something. It's just negative and outside of God's will for your life. So you need to understand that the devil is after one thing in your life, the belief system in your heart. He is after that, because according to Proverbs 4:23, it says the issues of life flow out of our heart. If the enemy wants to destroy our life, which he does, he must negatively affect your belief system, the thought life in your heart. When I say your heart, I'm talking about your thought life. Say thought life. We must not be ignorant of what the enemy, how he tries to get in. He knows he's got to negatively influence your heart, your thought life. That's the open door. That's the open door for him. So you got to keep that shut. The Holy Spirit is trying to help us produce positive things in our life, and the enemy is trying to influence us to produce negative things in our life. Boys and girls, it's very simple. I feel like Mr. Rogers. Is there a sweater up here? Should I change my shoes over here? Oh, here comes Mr. McFeely with some mail. You get the point. That was a great show back in the day. I liked that when I was a kid. Oh, it's such a good feeling. A feeling. Okay, there we go. I don't remember all that. I just kind of get, I can feel it, but I can't. I don't know what the words are. All right. Back to reality. Now, here we go. For there to be changes made in our belief system, we must be humble. We must be meek, which is being teachable. Remember what meek means? I love this definition. It's meek means this, to be easily imposed upon. And I want to add something to that. Ready? To be easily imposed upon, comma, with truth. To be easily imposed upon with truth. In other words, your pride wall is not going to come up when someone says, hey, you might want to take another look at this topic that you don't believe. You see? It's someone who says, yeah, maybe I'm not right about everything. I think I will take another look at it. Amen? Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I know I took some of y'all back to your childhood days when doing that Mr. Rogers thing. You're welcome. Now, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Powerful passage here. And it says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want you to notice that God reveals to us that his thoughts are not our human-inspired thoughts. His thoughts are not fleshly-inspired thoughts. His ways are not our human or fleshly-inspired ways. Amen? God's thoughts and ways, he says it this way, they're higher. Say higher. This is a warning that anything different and less than his ways and his thoughts are on a lower thought process. Say lower thought process. And they're earthly, they're sensual, they're devilish, right? The book of James talks about things on the earth are earthly, sensual, devilish, right? Our thoughts are so far from his. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says this. It says that we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Are you ready for this? He said this about that verse. He said, Christians have the mind of Christ, ready? Available to them through the word of God, prayer, and the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that doesn't mean that every decision you make just because you're a Christian is from the mind of Christ. Do you hear what I just said? The Holy Spirit said this, Christians have the mind of Christ, ready? Available to them. Say available. Available to them through the word of God, prayer, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not automatic. The mind of Christ, the ways and thoughts of God, ready, must be desired. They must be sought after in the word of God and through asking, seeking, and knocking. Let me say that one more time. Having the mind of Christ is not automatic. The ways and the thoughts of God must be desired, number one. They must be sought after in the word of God and through asking, seeking, and the knocking process. Every thought that I have is not from the mind of Christ. In fact, some thoughts are real fleshly. Can you testify to that? Right? They're not connected to Christ at all. Well, I thought we had the mind of Christ. No, no, no. It's available to us. If you, come on, get into the word and you ask, seek, and knock for God's ways. Just the fact, listen to this, just the fact that God tells us to renew our mind reveals that he desires us to come up higher to possess his thoughts. Did you hear what I just said? And to uproot every belief containing negativity, every limiting belief in our heart. Just the fact that God says, man, you need to renew your mind. Get into my word, renew your mind. God's saying, I want you to come up higher. I want your thoughts to come up higher. Now, some people have used this to justify a death in a family or something, right? No, no, that's not what it's saying. Our ways, that's flesh thinking that. Did you hear what I just said? No, 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 God has a good will for us. Amen? His ways are higher than this earthly realm. Come on. God is encouraging us to pursue and place ourselves within the, come on, all things are possible zone. I want to be placed within the all things are possible zone, don't you? And I feel like in this church, we're heading in that direction. Amen. God is not trying to hold us back. The devil's trying to hold us back. The enemy wants us to stay focused on the lower level. Our Heavenly Father is inviting us to come up higher with heavenly, in a heavenly atmosphere of his thoughts, where, come on, all things are possible. Go to Colossians 3:2. We haven't been there in a while. You get it? We were just there. We've probably been there in the last three sermons, but who's keeping track, my friend? Well, obviously you are. Okay, now, Colossians 3:1-2. It should be illegal to have this much fun preaching. Now, I'm glad it's not in America, right? Okay. Now, Colossians 3:1-2. Let's say this about it. Let's take another look at it. Here we go. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. All right, now, so set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, what he's saying is this, what the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to is this. Don't lower your thoughts to this earthly and lower level of the natural realm. All right, set your mind or thoughts on things above, where things are, where you can have unlimited beliefs that are in line with the Word of God. Amen. And it will override the natural realm. Why? Because they're spiritual thoughts. Fleshly thoughts won't change a thing. You need the spirit, God's spiritual thoughts. Amen. Now listen to this. Things on the earth are limited or limiting beliefs not aligned with the Word of God, and it restricts the kingdom of God from impacting the natural realm. I'm just throwing some things out at you. They are earthly, fleshly, or carnal thoughts. Don't give time, don't give thought or meditation on the lower things. This is how the Holy Spirit showed it to me. Don't give any thought or meditation time to things in the lower or the, here's what he said, the lesser realm. Say lesser realm. Because this natural realm is a snapshot of what's happening in the spirit realm anyways. So it's like you saying, I want to get rid of a tree. Well, you're chopping down the tree, but you're not getting rid of the root. Now you follow me. The root is the spirit realm for the natural realm. So we're always trying to pick fruit in the natural realm, and you're never changing anything. Because you got to go to the Spirit, the kingdom of God. Amen? Now listen to this. Something kept jumping out at me on these two verses. The word things, say things. Things kept jumping out at me as I read this verse, these verses over and over. Things, things. Set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So setting our mind on things above means to meditate on things, of course, as we know, connected to the kingdom of God, connected to heaven, and everything connected to the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? I'm going somewhere with this. Follow me. Anything connected to those aspects, we are to give extending thought or meditation to. Do you hear what I said? Anything connected to the Word of God, the kingdom of God, and heaven, we are to give extended thought time or meditation to. Things on the earth, here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Things on the earth are connected to carnality and the curse. Oh, did you just hear what I said? Things on the earth that we're not supposed to think, set our mind on, or meditate on, are things that are connected to carnality and the curse that would lower our thoughts and negatively affect, come on, our belief system in our heart. The all things are possible is in the spirit realm, not the natural realm. That's why we're told to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, listen to this. So any thought that you and I have that draws us closer to our Heavenly Father in Jesus and increases our faith to believe the impossible is from above. From heaven, within the blessing zone, on earth as it is in heaven, right? Any thought that produces negativity, a lack of faith, a lack of holiness, is from below on this earth in the, come on, the curse zone. Say curse zone. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when the curse entered this earth when Eve ate that fruit. Now, we don't know it was an apple. Someone just said it was an apple. No, it wasn't. I don't think it was. What was it? What do you think it was? What? Figs. Figgy Newtons? Figs? Yeah, it just says a fruit. She ate the fruit, right? And it could be figs. Who knows? Yeah. Interesting. Our problem is this. Here we go. We give way too much thought time, way too much meditation connected to this lower natural realm. And that produces limitations in our heart, in our belief. It creates limited beliefs on the inside of our heart. An example, you want an example? I'll give you a couple of them here. An example is healing or needing an earthly provision, finances or whatever. Here's the thing. Are you giving way too much thought time, way too much meditation to that sickness or disease or that lack, whatever you're lacking in your life, more than heaven's answer to those problems? You following me? We're given way too much thought time, way too much extended thought and meditation in worry and fear about a sickness or a disease, an infirmity, or whatever we're lacking. We're given way too much thought time to it. And that, what does that do? What does that put around you? Another spiritual rope. Another limiting belief. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right? Now, listen to this. You really got to say, I'm listening. Because this is where a lot of people go in the ditch with faith. Ready for this? Listen to this truth. The Holy Spirit just illuminated this to me. It's so simple, but it's powerful. Ready? Faith does not deny a problem. Ready? Faith ignores it. Now, I'm going to explain. I'm going to even give you definitions to state what my case here. Faith doesn't deny a problem in your life. Faith ignores it. It doesn't consider it. Faith doesn't give it thought time or meditation in their heart, in their thought life. So meaning, the person ignores it in their thought life. They refuse to meditate on the problem, but rather they meditate on the solution in the Word of God. Are you following me? Now listen to this. This is powerful. The definitions will drive this home. The word deny is defined as this. Say deny. Deny is defined as this. As the state that one refuses to admit the truth or the existence of something. See, that's what faith doesn't do. Did you hear what I said? Faith does not deny the existence of a sickness or a disease. It doesn't deny that an issue, a lack in your life. You're lacking something. Ignore. Say ignore. Ignore is defined as this. Listen to this. To refuse to take notice of, or to acknowledge, or to disregard intentionally. Let me say it again. Ignore is defined as to refuse to take notice of or to acknowledge, to disregard intentionally. Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham didn't give any thought time to that problem in the natural realm. He believed what God said. To deny that a problem exists just makes you look like an idiot, to be honest with you. Did you hear what I just said? It makes Christians look like an idiot. It really does to the world and all them. Don't deny the problem, but we are to ignore it. The person who ignores it is saying this, yeah, I know it's there. Yeah, I know it's a fact in the natural realm, but I'm intentionally focusing on, I'm intentionally meditating on the truth in God's word that has the power to override its right to be there. It's not a deny. You're not denying the problem. Stop denying. We're looking like idiots. Really? Really? You know, we walk in like this and, hey, you got a problem with your leg? Nope, no problem whatsoever. Like, really? You don't need prayer? Nope, no problems. We look like idiots. We look like fools. Stop it. Stop. Just stop. I beg people to stop doing that. So listen to this. All you're saying is this. I'm refusing to give the problem my focus and attention. That's it. That's all faith does. That's it. God never commanded or required us to deny a problem. Did you know that? God never commanded or required us to deny when there's a problem, but rather to ignore it, to ignore the negativity of that thing, and to focus on Him. Amen. Denial, by the way, let's talk a little bit about the denial and stuff with in connection to physical healing. Listen to this. Denial of a medical problem could indeed be deadly. Let me say that again. A denial of a medical problem could be deadly. James 5:14 starts off and says this. Is any sick among you? No. Is any sick? No, do good, brother. Is any sick among you? And then it says to let that person who's sick, meaning there's got to be an acknowledgement, there's a problem. Oh. And then it says, let that person, the sick person, call for prayer from the elders of the church, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise them up. Now, if a Christian is in denial of a medical problem, they won't bother to call for prayer. And in that case, you know what? They may not be healed unless God's mercy pours out for some reason. Did you hear what I just said? The sick person is supposed to ask for prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Say, I'm listening. The sick person is supposed to ask for prayer. It's not to be forced upon them without the sick person's permission. Oh, Pastor James, you're not spiritual. You didn't want to go pray for them. Sometimes I do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, wait for them to ask. Y'all doing okay? Now. So, is any sick among you? Obviously, just that one verse slays the sacred cow of denying there's a problem. Oh, my. Oh, now, the Holy Spirit gave me two verses here as I'm getting ready to close. Page 8 of 10, getting ready to go to page 9, by the way. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me two verses, John 10:10 and Luke 12:32, in connection to correcting limiting beliefs. He said to have unlimiting beliefs, go to John 10:10. To have unlimited beliefs, you must meditate on, believe, and apply these two verses to everything you think, say, and do. Now, of course, the whole Word of God is good in faith building, right? But for some reason, these two verses, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. So these are just some foundational scriptures that we need to keep in our heart, okay? If we're going to have unlimited belief, amen? Here we go. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We must believe that Jesus desires us to have and he provided, and we must believe that Jesus desires us to have and provided everything we need to live an abundant life on this earth. If you don't receive that, you're stuck with the ropes, baby. You're stuck with the ropes. Nothing more is required on God's part. Everything's available through Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that Jesus has to do or God has to do for us. It's available. We must believe, and we must also believe, that all evil and everything that would try to steal and to kill and destroy us is from the devil. It's from the kingdom of darkness. So number one, you got to believe that Jesus provided everything. Everything's available to you and I right now on this earth, right now, to have an abundant life on this earth. And it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't have that foundation, you're going to have limiting beliefs on the inside of you. Go to Luke 12:32. And this is one of the verses that the Holy Spirit brought to my mind here. Or spirit, whatever, soul, whatever you want to call it. Now here we go. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, my, my. It's such a short verse, but power-packed. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We must believe that it's our Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, to provide everything we need on this earth. Everything the kingdom of God represents belongs to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? He knows what we have need of, it says, before we pray. He knows what we have need of before we pray. What is that saying? Still pray. But don't beg. Oh, my. Did you just hear what I said? He knows what you have need of before you pray. In other words, it's available, but you got to pray to initiate the transfer from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Now, maybe there's someone in here. You for some reason, you're out of gas and you needed a 20 to fill up your gas tank, right? And you feel real shy to go up to someone, but you finally work your way and you ask, and you're almost in this begging kind of a feeling with the person, right? Because after all, you don't know if they're going to give you the money or not, right? Right? But what if I said I had a 20 right here, and I said whoever's the first one to come up and get it, they keep it. It's my will to give this to someone. Come on, who's the first one to get this thing? Oh, okay. The Holy Spirit put something on my heart. See, before, when it was more desperation, you didn't know if it was my will to give that $20 bill. Everyone had this limited or hindered belief because you didn't know. You didn't know if it was my will, so you kind of just sat there, right? But when I said, I have it and it's yours, and all you got to do is receive it, an unlimited belief came on the inside of you, right? There was no begging. She just came up and grabbed it. With what? Boldness. Did you hear what I just said? It gave her boldness to come up, to overcome obstacles. Why? Why in the world would I come back here instead of her raising her hand and me giving it? Because it took more faith for her to come up here and look like a fool on camera around the world. Did you hear what I just said? The woman with the issue of blood had to fight her way through the crowd. That's what faith does. When you get the revelation that God already provided these blessings for you, you're going to take hold of them with boldness. You hear what I'm saying? It's going to be an unlimited belief on the inside of you. That flashed in my spirit yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to do that. You simply had to believe what was already available, and that's what God does for us. Amen? Now, go to Philippians 4, 6 through 8 real quick. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Sometimes God stands up on the stage like that because he wants to see how hungry you are for it. He wants to see how bold your faith is for it. Glory to God. That'll preach. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. I love it. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Very popular passage. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, it's interesting. It says, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful about the future, but come to God in prayer. You want to know why you don't have to be anxious or fearful when you come to God in prayer? Because he already has it waiting for you. You're not begging him for it. That's why it produces a peace, because all prayer is, it's initiating the transaction between the spirit realm to the natural realm. 1 John 5, 14 through 15, and this is the confidence that we have in God. If we ask anything according to his will, we know we have the desires that we asked of him. How do we know that we have his will? It's all in the word of God. That's why everything needs to be backed up in the word of God. Prayer should not, when you get done praying, it shouldn't be a, wringing your hands kind of a thing. No, it should be, yes, I activated the transaction. I believe I received when I prayed. Are you following me? I believe I have this thing now. There's no doubt in my mind because God said it's mine. And I'm going to boldly take hold of it. So prayer should not be something you walk away from sad. No, no, you need to walk away with it rejoicing. Amen. Prayer, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, give extended thought time on those things." Prayer will help to uproot limiting beliefs. Communication, fellowship with our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit will soften. Here's why it loosens, why it helps get rid of these limiting beliefs. Ready? Because it softens the soil of our heart to be able to uproot those wrong beliefs. That's all it does. It softens the soil of our heart. The parable of the sower. You could call it the parable of the soil because it's different kinds of soil it talks about, right? But it creates a tender soil in your heart. So now you get your communication with the Lord. It tenderizes your heart for you to be able to identify and uproot this thing. In verse 8, what I just read, an approved list is given to us from the Holy Spirit that will promote unlimited beliefs in our heart. And I want you to notice, everything listed in verse 8, everything is positive. Did you hear what I just said? Stop falling into negativity. You got to shift to a positive mindset. Meditate on, give extended thought to those things within those boundaries in verse 8. Amen. God has gone up and beyond and will go out of his way to influence you to believe him without limitations, without restrictions. But again, we have the final say. Quickly, go to 2 Kings 6. I want to show you something here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Whoa, he's going into the Old Testament. Yeah, I'll go there. I'll go where the Holy Spirit leads me, right? Now, check this out. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 18. This is about Elisha and Elisha's servant. The Syrian army was starting to surround Elisha and Elisha's servant. And Elisha's servant fell into major fear, all right, in his mind. And in his mind, the servant's mind, the battle was lost. We're being surrounded by the Syrian army, right? So God did something. Elisha and God did something. I said Elisha and God, a partnership. Elisha and God did something to boost the faith of the servant. Look at this, 2 Kings 6, 14 through 18. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great number, great army there. And they came by the night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So it looked hopeless in the natural realm. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, angelic horses, all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, Elisha asked God to open his servant's spiritual eyes to be able to see in the spirit realm, and God did it. Do you think that gave the servant a little bit of a faith boost? Huh? See, why am I always praying, "Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Let me see in the spirit," because it will give you a faith boost. There's a purpose behind it. So God will also use visions and dreams to lift you up and build some hope and faith on the inside of you. I want you to notice the servant was dependent upon and relying on Elisha's faith and prayer. Did you hear what I just said? There are times when God will permit you to ride on more mature Christians' faith, but it won't last for long. There are times when you can ride on someone else's faith, but it won't last for long. God is showing you what's possible with your own unlimited beliefs and faith when he does that. That's the only reason he allows you to ride the faith strings of maybe a more mature Christian, because he's showing you what your potential is, not to let you continually ride on that person's faith strings. Are you following what I'm saying? When God extended his mercy to this servant to see in the spirit realm, now it was up to the servant he seen. And guess what? The servant had a choice. Am I going to stay in faith, or am I going to let that boost my faith? All right, am I going to stay in fear, or am I going to let that boost my faith? Amen? So God is, really, think about this. Why, Pastor James, do you pursue supernatural encounters from the Lord? Why? Because supernatural encounters should build your confidence and faith in God. I know the supernatural encounters I had with the Lord, it boosts my faith in the Lord. It really did. So God has given us an invitation through those encounters to believe him for the impossible. Now, the last thing, and I'm done. John 20. John chapter 20, 12:05. We're doing good. All right, John 20. And I'm looking at verses 24 through 29. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Jesus did not have to do that for Thomas. You agree with that? He did. He could have left him in his own little unbelief, pity party, limited beliefs, right? But Jesus knew there was such doubt and unbelief in Thomas's heart that he even had to say when Jesus showed up, right? Do not be unbelieving, but believing. I mean, how crazy is that? Jesus is before him. The holes are right there. But Jesus still said, Thomas, you still have a choice to make. Do you hear what I'm saying? Someone can have a supernatural encounter with God, and it might not even shift them. Did you hear what I said? Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Blessed are those who have unlimited and unhindered belief and faith. Church, it's so important that we take the time to search and evaluate our heart, specifically the beliefs that we hold on to on the inside. Do they align with the Word of God or not? Do I need emotional healing, deliverance, closure in certain areas of my life and past to be able to cut the spiritual ropes that are holding me back in life, that are holding me back from the impossible, from seeing my true identity in Christ? The Holy Spirit wanted me to get this point across to you today. Your Heavenly Father is holding nothing back from you to live an abundant life on this earth. It is your Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of God. Now, it's up to us to believe, to receive, and to walk in it on this earth. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. That was a long one, wasn't it? But it needed to be said. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come forward. If there's anybody in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today's the day of salvation. Please do not leave here until you come down to this altar to one of the prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. You want to do that? Come on down. Do it. Don't wait. Maybe that's one of the topics that you have some rope around you. There's something in you like, let the rope go today and ask for prayer. Now, maybe this message really ministered to you, and you're starting to see areas where you do have that rope. You need some freedom. You need to make a mind shift. You need to shift your heart. If this message touched you, just come down here and just say, hey, pray for me. This message really hit home. And maybe there's someone in here you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Don't leave without coming and saying, I want to rededicate my life. Tell somebody. I'm telling you, it's powerful when you tell someone and get some prayer for it. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. They'll pray for you, and you're going to have a blessed week. Amen? Amen.
I want to say something.
You want to say something. Go for it.
Sorry, I know we're already running behind, but who cares really, right?
Right.
So, I don't know about you, but today's message was absolute fire from the Holy Spirit. I see why I gave up my whole Valentine's Day yesterday for my husband to prepare that message. And
I was stuck in my office.
But that's not what I wanted to say. That message was so good, and it could help so many people, that I would encourage you guys to share that message when Pastor posts that message today. Because it was absolute fire from the Holy Spirit. And I just wanted to say that. That's all.
Thanks.
That's all.
Hey,
I don't know. Do we have any announcements while I am up here? So we have
roller skating
tomorrow night at 5 in Lapeer. Is that correct, Stacy? See, okay, 6. I'm not prepared to do announcements.
Do they have a chiropractor on staff?
And then,
no, it's actually fun. I like roller skating. I do.
All of our events are on the newsletter when you walk out the door, so grab a newsletter. Young Adults is on Friday night. That's 18 to 35.
Yep.
And that's at Andrew and Allison's house.
Yep.
There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up in the back. Please sign up. Please sign up in the back.
What's that?
There's a board meeting. Next Monday, we'll announce that next week for sure.
But there's one next week. We'll give you the exact date here shortly.
Oh, and then Overflow, the women's soaking night of prayer.
Yes.
Ladies 18 and up, come out to this Thursday from 7 to 9. We're doing soaking prayer in here. And it'll be soaking prayer. So bring your journals, bring your comfy clothes, And we will set our minds on things above.
Oh, come on.
Hey, that night.
And I want to eventually start here. I don't know when I'm going to start it, but I want to do third and fourth watch prayer. I might have some nights where we meet here at midnight till 1, 2, or however long the Holy Spirit wants, and maybe do some morning ones where we meet at 4 or 5 a.m. here. Third and fourth watch. I don't know. I'm feeling a stirring for that. Vic and Mary, is this your last Sunday? Are you going to North Carolina? Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Let's pray for them. Stretch it to them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd be with Vic and Mary, Lord God, as they go down to North Carolina and camp them, their vehicles, airport, whatever they're on, and camp them with your holy angels. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. Give them rest and refreshing, Lord God. And Lord God, I let divine appointments take place in their life down there, Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
And one last thing. Prime Timers is at Rails End on Thursday at
noon. Thursday, yes. Yes. All right. Okay. Love you all.
Sorry for the spontaneous announcements.
I'm not. Now get out of here. You know where to find me if you need me. Love you all.